faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you are with us. Hope you had a great weekend. And glad you're back with us. We got a lot to get to. How many of you watched the coronation of the Antichrist? Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. King Charles. Did I really say that? Well, there's a lot of speculation out there. I'm not saying he's the Antichrist, but he would certainly go on the short list. But I would certainly say he is an Antichrist. He's an Antichrist. Did you watch any of it? Of course, I didn't get up in the middle of the night to watch it, but I watched some of the replay, and there's a lot of weird stuff going on. There was a lot of weird stuff and a lot of pagan symbolism going on in there. We'll get to some of it and some of the videos. But first, let me go to, I sent myself some notes. Where did it go? Where'd all my notes go? I sent myself an email with a bunch of notes in them. Here we go. All right, so how many of you had seen the invitation that he originally sent out? Did you know he originally sent out an invitation for people to, you know, that were being invited to it? Well, he did. He sent out an invitation originally, and that in itself was making some news because of some of the pictures that were in the invitation. Now, if you go to my website, worldviewreport.com, there is an article by my friend Naomi Wolf. My friend Naomi Wolf wrote an article, and this is very interesting because Naomi Wolf, as many of you know, has been described certainly as a progressive, maybe even as a feminist by some, by herself. But she's come a long way toward, questioning some of these past positions. She worked with Al Gore and Clinton. I've interviewed her many times, as you know, and she's done an excellent job exposing the COVID shots, the deaths, what's in them, going after COVID passports. She did a 180 on the Second Amendment. You know, I really appreciate her humility to say, hey, I've changed my position. I've done some research. I've thought about it. I've done some contemplating here, and I've changed my position, and let it be known, here's my new position, and writes articles, gives interviews. I was honored to be the one, she said, the first interview on an article she wrote about why she changed her position on the Second Amendment, why she now realizes this is a vital part of keeping our freedoms and liberties. She did a 180 on the Second Amendment, and when I interviewed her on it, she said, you're the first interview I've given on that article. Well, I saw the article, and I just had to interview her about it. And I like to interview her. I like to interview Steve Kirsch because these people described themselves at one time as progressives. They're from the left. And I like to interview them so that maybe others listening can say, wait a minute, clearly this is about the facts, not politics per se, not right versus left paradigm. Yes, there are areas where I'm sure Naomi and I would disagree. My wife and I don't agree on everything, right? Yes, there are areas that Steve Kirsch and I would disagree on. There are areas where JFK Jr. and I would disagree. But look at these people on the left that are saying, hey, wait a minute. This is about autonomy. This is about freedom. This is about freedom of speech, freedom of religion, parental authority. This is about fighting tyranny, oppression. And I like to interview some of those people from time to time so that others listening can say, look, this isn't just far right-wing conspiracy. There are people with broad backgrounds, some of them whose names are a part of our American history, like the Kennedys. And, of course, poor RFK Jr. has had to stand up to some of his family members that have really kind of gone after him in the public arena for his position. So I like interviewing some of these people so that people see this isn't a political agenda. The right and the left, some of us are agreeing, and some of these people on the left are coming our direction, and they're agreeing that this is a real problem. Well, Naomi Wolf wrote a very interesting article that's out. She just put it out today. Weird things about King Charles's coronation. Are symbols twisted? Is Britain being deconsecrated? And I called Leo Holman today and said, Leo, have you read this? He said, I just started reading it when you called. I said, well, I just finished it. It's really fascinating. So here it is, The Daily Clout by Naomi Wolf. Now, she goes into the history. She's done a lot of work here. And she goes into the history of past coronations and what they have done and what made this one so different. And there's a few phrases in here she uses that I wouldn't agree with as far as I would have chosen different words to describe what was going on there. But overall, this is a very, very interesting piece and one I learned a lot from. She's obviously very analytical. We know that from the book she's written about the COVID and going through the Pfizer documents. She's very analytical. So she picks up on things that maybe other people wouldn't pick up on. And I noticed she says here, this right here. The English monarchy, of course, though it has changed over the centuries, has jealously guarded its longstanding symbolism, its solemn ritual. With all of this bolstering of it, its claim to divine right to rule. Its divine right to rule. That's what they claim. That is to say, this all was the case until King Charles was crowned last week. I do not know why some aspects of King Charles's coronation were so weird and deviated notably from the baseline, as she put it in quotes, or norms of other English coronations. I just know they were. First, there was the odd discordance, when a note clashes. It was out of sync, out of rhythm, there was a bad note. there were the black horses, ostensibly in formation. So you had the black horses in formation, yet at times dramatically out of step. The soldiers in black busbies with their alignments of arms and legs directly out of rhythm with one another. A lonely red coat walking in the opposite direction of everyone else. She provides a picture. A red-coated soldier collapsing, which seems to happen regularly now at these events. She said it just seems like the symmetry and everything was off, and maybe that was on purpose. Then she went into what the people were wearing. But leaving those aberrations aside, why were a number of key female attendees in shapeless, druid-like white gowns? Now, this to me was fascinating that she picked up on that. She has to be very keen. I know she is from the research she's done, analytical and keen on things, because I wouldn't have picked up on that. I wish I could honestly tell you, oh yeah, if I watched all that, I would have picked up on that. I'm not an expert on women's dresses. Aren't we all glad of that, right? So I'm not an expert on women's dresses, and I'm not an expert on fashion. I do pick my own suits and ties and coordinate that, but that's about as far as it goes. So I wouldn't have been an expert on fashion and women's dresses. Maybe my wife would have picked up on it. Maybe you ladies in the audience would have picked up on it too, but I didn't. But she says, why were a number of key female attendees in shapeless, druid-like white gowns? Past coronations certainly put the significance of female attendees in white gowns, but they were the white dresses of that moment. The headdresses that female royalty wore were traditionally tiaras. The tiaras, right? And she provides these old black and white photos of Queen Elizabeth at her coronation. And the women are all wearing fitted dresses. They're all wearing tailored and fitted dresses. They're not wearing what look like white gowns like you would see in some of the pictures that she provides of witches and druids and the Wicca religion, if you will. They were wearing fitted dresses. They were wearing the tiaras on their head. Well, that wasn't the case here. The year was 1953, and the cut and the style of the gowns are normally formal dress for wealthy women in that period. Of course, the sashes of rank and tiaras are specific to the occasion. And she shows some pictures from the past, paintings, all kinds of things. She even shows a picture of the coronation of King George III, 1761. Once more, the ladies are dressed in gowns and hairstyles of the style of that year, right? But then she starts to show all of these pictures of what the women were wearing with these white gowns that looked awfully odd. And she says, if you look at images of Druid gatherings, you will see women and men in long, loose, white robes. You will see caps. You will see wreaths like the kind that Prince Kate and Princess Sophia and Princess Charlotte wore, though in fresh leaves and flowers rather than in gemstones and feathers. Druid Britain is a pre-Christian Britain in which nature, groves, springs, rocks, trees is worshipped rather than Jesus Christ or the Judeo-Christian God. This is a Druid ceremony at Stonehenge below. And she's showing them with their gowns, their white gowns, like maybe a white, for the radio audience, they'll think of a white gown like you would see a monk or a priest wearing. That's very much what they look like. And then the flowers in their hair. She provides quite a few pictures of this. And she said, weird is the introduction of an elaborate... Then she goes on to the introduction of the elaborate privacy screen. How many of you caught the privacy screen? Now, I have watched the video footage of Queen Elizabeth's coronation. I never saw that privacy screen. This was weird. And she says it. She uses that word. Weird is the introduction of an elaborate so-called privacy screen behind which the anointing of the monarch took place. Logan, are you keeping up with all this? Did you didn't watch it, did you, Logan? Are you keeping up with what I'm talking about, or are you asleep in there? Is this weird? This is weird. Contemporary news accounts claim that this screen is like the canopy that King Charles's mother, Queen Elizabeth, used in her ceremony. The anointing of the king or queen has always been at the centerpiece of this solemn ritual. The holy oil consecrates the monarch to the people and to God. Quote, the anointing is the most sacred part of the coronation ceremony and takes place before the investiture and crowning. The archbishop pours holy oil from the vessel into the spoon and anoints the sovereign on the hands and breast and head. The tradition goes back to the Old Testament, which describes the anointing of Solomon. Here's a video similar, ones are not easy to locate online, that reaches to the point of Queen Elizabeth's anointing, where we can see the invocation clearly, she is anointed. I watched this a few weeks ago, by the way. I think I was watching a documentary or something on her. I can't remember. I watch so many documentaries. While I work, I like to watch documentaries. I never sit and just work. Someone recently was spending a few days, and they said, I noticed that when you're not on the air, you always have a laptop in your lap, and you're working. I'm like, that's right. There's no time to waste. So I do watch documentaries, but always with a laptop in my lap while I'm working and studying and reading and answering emails or whatever I got to do. And somewhere along the way, in the last few weeks, I have watched Queen Elizabeth's coronation and the anointing of her with oil. And all of this was done where everybody could see it and we can go online and find it. And she provides a link to a video of this happening. But that didn't happen with the freak, King Charles. He had a privacy screen brought up, folks. I'll tell you about that and some of the symbolism. And the green man that was on the invitation. Don't go away. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. So we are working feverishly to catch up. We offered free shipping in February and March on emergency freeze-dried food and supplies. Been telling you we're working feverishly to catch up, and we are. We're getting very, very close to getting inside a window that I wanted to push the team into. We hired a couple new people. We added on two new people today and tomorrow. So we're working feverishly. So I want to thank all of you for your patience. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Of course, many of you got free shipping, which saved hundreds of dollars for some of you. And we're thankful that we were able to do that for that period of time, which for some of you meant the difference between being able to afford something and not afford something. So we are glad we were able to do that. So you guys got a great deal in free shipping, saving in some cases hundreds and hundreds of dollars. So thank you for your patience, but we are getting very close to being caught up with the deluge that came in for February and March, far beyond what we had expected. So again, thank you for your patience and continue to be patient. And everybody will get their order in a timely manner, particularly now that this week school is out in the Mid-South. So many of the people that were working for us in the afternoons and evenings are now going full time. So again, thank you to all of you for your patience. If you have any concern, of course, you can text us at 901-468-9357, 901-4... Wait a minute. Wait, that's the wrong number. You can... Well, I guess you could text there, but do... Here's the better text. 901-825-0652, 901-825-0652. Be sure to give us your name and your email address so we can look up your account. But other... The best thing to do is everybody just continue being patient. We're moving as quickly as we can. But we do have those resources on our store for those that want to check it out, wvwtvstore.com or 901-468-9357. Now, here is the article that I linked at worldviewreport.com by Naomi Wolf. And she said, here's a video. Similar ones are not easy to locate online that reach to the point of the Queen Elizabeth's anointing. Now, it's all done without anybody being behind a screen, a privacy screen. We can hear the invocation clearly as she is anointed. Notice that's very key. We can hear the invocation clearly as she is anointed. Head, hands, and breast. While we do not see the anointing, which may indeed have been covered by a golden canopy, we hear it clearly. And you can see the golden canopy, it looks like, coming forward in the far back, right, top right-hand corner. She does appear to leave the presence of the assembled crowd. She's asked to defend God and the church. The anointing is described in real time. The word God is audibly invoked multiple times. The word God is audibly invoked multiple times. So, there was a little privacy screen apparently during one part, but the audio comes through. You hear the invocation and you know she's being anointed, and the word God is audibly invoked multiple times. Not so with King Charles. In contrast, the anointing is drowned out as well as unseen in King Charles's coronation. King Charles, in contrast, requested an elaborate, embroidered, three-sided so-called privacy screen, and the event itself is now far more obscured. In a process that, to my knowledge, has never happened before, the anointing screen, as it was called, was produced in separate sections in Westminster Abbey and assembled at the altar. It shielded the monarch from view like a portable shower at the beach for the sacred mystery of the act of anointing. It also enclosed the words invoked over the monarch. So, we don't know what was said. Maybe he took his oath to Mother Earth. Maybe he took his oath to Satan. We have no idea. Maybe he took his oath to, again, Venus, Aphrodite, the Queen of Heaven. We don't know. You do know who his mother took the oath to. You heard it. You can hear it. One problem with the anointing screen is its obscurity. The moment now is not audible, and thus far less transparent to the nation than was the same moment when King Charles' mother underwent the same consecration. Indeed, The lovely sound of the choir singing Handel's Zadok, the priest, entirely drowns out the words of this recent anointing. This may seem like an extreme concern to raise, but is any concern extreme these days? If British subjects cannot hear their king's anointing, it is literally drowned out, starting at 2 minutes in the clip above. But the robust choir, how do they know what has been said? It could be anything or nothing. In the United States, we are hearing rumors now that members of the Biden administration may not have taken the oath of office. Have you guys heard this? I've heard this starting a few weeks ago. Members of the Biden administration didn't take the oath of office. I do solemnly swear, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. So help me God. She writes, if that were ever to be the case, this would be a big deal. These officials would have legal leeway to do much of what they want, including commit what would otherwise be treason. If King Charles's subjects cannot hear the anointing, how do they know to whom he has consecrated himself? How do they know if it is to the service of their God or of themselves? The anointing screen itself is weird. It has elements of the Ark of the Covenant, as described in Exodus 25:10. It has poles of wood to carry it and cherubims at either end facing each other. The little cherubs, you know, like the little angels. And she quotes from the Bible, talking about the Ark of the Covenant. But in addition to this, which causes the sublime sense of the uncanny, the cherubim make a first appearance in the Hebrew Bible, holding the flaming sword to protect the tree of life from mortal sinfulness after Adam and Eve's first sin, when they were exiled from the Garden of Eden. And she goes on to describe. Weird is the mere fact that an echo of the Ark of the Covenant was created and brought into the altar of Westminster Abbey. Isn't that interesting? Weird, too, is the mere fact that an echo of the Ark of the Covenant was even created and brought to the altar of Westminster Abbey, which is one of the most sacred sites of the Church of England. Now, I haven't seen that part. I didn't have time because I had other things I had to do this morning. I did not have a chance to see that yet. Logan, can you see if you can find, or any of you can email me a picture right now? I'd love to show the television audience and describe it to the radio audience. If you can find me, any of you, and email me, Brandon@worldviewweekend.com, if you can find a picture of the Ark of the Covenant, this echo of the Ark of the Covenant was even created and brought to the altar of Westminster Abbey, which is one of the most sacred sites of the Church of England. Now, she says, but the Ark of the Covenant is also a pre-Christian Jewish sacred symbol. Okay, she goes on from there. Now, here's the thing I'd like to know. I'd like to know what that Ark of the Covenant looked like. If you guys will pull that down real quick, I'm going to show the audience something real quick. Let me go here and show you the... How many of you have ever seen the Ark of Hope? I have shown you guys the Ark of Hope for years. Okay, here it is. You can go to the website, arkofhope.org. Arkofhope.org. So I'd like to see what this supposed echo of the Ark of the Covenant was that was brought into Westminster Abbey. Here is the Ark of Hope. Wouldn't that be something if it was the Ark of Hope? I don't know what it was until I see it. But if it's the Ark of Hope, I'll know it. Because I've been showing this for a few decades now, the Ark of Hope, and writing and speaking about the Ark of Hope. And in the Ark of Hope, as it says on the website, arkofhope.org, the Ark of Hope was created as a place of refuge for the Earth Charter. The Earth Charter and the Timonos books. These are occultic books they had written. The Earth Charter. The Ark of Hope, it gives the measurements. Wooden chest was created as a place of refuge for the Earth Charter document. an international peoples treaty for building a just, sustainable, and peaceful global society in the 21st century. Visit earthcharter.org for complete information on the Earth Charter. The Ark of Hope also provides refuge for what they call the Temenos, T-E-M-E-N-O-S, Temenos books, images and words for global healing, peace, and gratitude. Over 1,000 handcrafted 8x8x2-inch books have been made by artists, school children, and citizens around the world expressing their individual and collaborative prayers and affirmations for the Earth. The Earth Charter's 16 principles are the guiding vision behind the creation of these books. The Ark was designed and painted by Vermont, USA artist Sally Linder. It goes on from there. The Ark of Hope was created for a celebration of Earth Charter held at Shelburne Farms, Vermont on September 9th, 2001. The event for Love of Earth featured keynote speaker Jane Goodall, Global Peace Walker, Satish Kumar, musician Paul Winter, and Dr. Stephen Rockefeller, a member of the Earth Charter Commission. Well, I've talked about Stephen Rockefeller and this Ark of Hope for years. And again, it's made to look like the Ark of the Covenant. And it contains the new Ten Commandments, if you will, I guess, which are now 16. Recognizing the United Nations is central to global efforts to solve problems with challenging humanity, the Ark of Hope carrying the Earth Charter and the books, the Temenos books, was exhibited at the United Nations during the World Summit PrepCom 2 in January and February of 2002. So, there you go. I'm rather certain that King Charles is very aware of the Ark of Hope. So for him to have what Naomi describes as the mere fact that an echo of the Ark of the Covenant was even created and brought to the altar of Westminster Abbey is very interesting. Now, let me go to bring that down if you guys would, and let me go to my emails. Let me see if any of you have emailed me a picture yet of what if any of you found that Ark of Hope. Here we go, Ark of the Covenant. Let's see, world history. Okay, I know what the Ark of the Covenant looks like, guys. That's not what I'm asking for. It's a perfect example, appreciate this. But this is a perfect example of people hearing what they want to hear. And this happens to us all the time. I didn't ask for a picture of the Ark of the Covenant. I asked for a picture of the Ark that was brought into Westminster Abbey during this supposed ceremony. If people can send me that, I'd really appreciate it. But that is a good teaching moment, because we get so many emails and phone calls from people, and it's because people hear what they want to hear, not what was said, and sometimes what they think they heard is not at all what we want the message to convey. So people, you gotta really pay attention so that the message is not construed. But if any of you know what she's talking about, I didn't have time to go through all the footage, but if any of you know what she's talking about, some kind of what looks like an echo of the Ark of the Covenant being brought in, I would really appreciate it. Now, when we we'll go back to this privacy screen. Then we're also going to go to the Green Man. There was an invitation sent out, and it had a Green Man in it. I'll tell you what that is all about. Hello, I'm Brandon House. At WVWTVstore.com, we have emergency freeze-dried food that has a 25-year shelf life, and it tastes really good. I've eaten many of the entrees. Let me show you. Go to WVWTVstore.com. At the top of the page, click Emergency Food Supplies, then All Emergency Food Supplies, and it starts bringing up the foods we have. We have 1 year, 2 year. We have 3 months, 6 months. We have gluten-free. We have fruit and veggie and snacks. We have protein with real meat. We have Franklin's Finest coffee. That's instant coffee. So, folks, if the power goes out, I need my coffee. So I actually get it by the bucket, but you can get simple servings as well. Check it all out at WVWTVstore.com, a 25-year shelf life, and it tastes really good. You can also call 901 408-468-9357. Libby will take your order, track it all the way to your door. 901-468-9357. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. Now, everybody, all these stupid subscriptions. You can't hardly read an article anymore without them wanting you to have a subscription. All right, finally found it. Okay, here we go. Look at this. Is the Green Man British enough for the royal coronation? This was an article at The Slate, April 8th, 2023. Now, for those watching by television, you can see this, but for radio, I'll describe it. On the invitation, here's the royal family tweet. The royal family tweet. They tweeted out a picture. Okay, here it is. The coronation of their majesties, King Charles III and Queen Camilla, tomato, tomato, I don't know. They're both disgusting. I mean, think about where Vice President Kamala, how she got her start with Willie Brown. And then you think about Camilla. I mean, these are not virtuous women, in my opinion. These are not virtuous women. They both make me very, very uncomfortable. I don't like either one of them. I think the Bible would have a certain description for them. But anywho, here is the invitation. At the bottom of the invitation is this green leaves, and in the center of the green leaves is the eyes and the nose and the lips of a man. Now, this was at the bottom of the invitation to come and attend the coronation at the Abbey Church of Westminster on the 6th day of May, 2023. This green man. And you can go and you can look up what that is all about, and I think I did somewhere look up where'd it go. Thought I looked up what that was all about. Let's see, guys. Pull that down for a minute till I find it. All right, here we go. Okay, you can put it back up now. Here we go. Green Man. It's from Wikipedia. I don't get everything from Wikipedia, but this is pretty accurate because I found other sites that were saying the same thing. Green Man is an architectural motif, most commonly a face made of or completely surrounded by leaves. The Green Man is primarily interpreted as a symbol of rebirth, representing the cycle of new growth that occurs every spring. The Green Man motif has many variations. Branches or vines may sprout from the mouth, nostrils, or other parts of the face, and these shoots may bear flowers or fruit. Found in many cultures from many ages around the world, the Green Man is often related to natural vegetation deities. Hello! Natural vegetation deities. In Christian churches in England, the image was used to illustrate a popular sermon during the mystical origins of the cross of Jesus. In fact, if you do the old control F, put in pagan, see how many times the word pagan pops up. According to a letter by Stephen Miller, author of The Green Man in Medieval England, Christian shoots from pagan roots is a Christian Judaic derived motif, and it has pagan roots. Right there. Superficially, the Green Man may appear to be pagan, perhaps a fertility figure or a nature spirit. There you go. Some have described it in other articles I read today as the merging of so-called Christianity with paganism. The merging of Christianity with paganism. You see the word pagan is used many times. It's been described, the Green Man who's in the novel is portrayed as an ancient pagan monster. Modern paganism has used it. For the modern pagans, the Green Man is used as a symbol of seasonal renewal and ecological awareness. So good old King Charles put the Green Man there on his put the Green Man on his invitation. This is a weird dude. We're going to have plenty to talk about with King Charles around, are we not? Now, let me go to another thing I found today. Let's see, where is it? Where is it at? Okay, this is gonna make you guys really interested. Look at this. Prince Charles at the World Economic Forum. Quote, the only limit is our willingness to act, end quote. This is from January 22nd, 2020, article, royalcentral.co.uk. And for those listening by radio, let me describe what it is here. It's at the World Economic Forum in 2020. And there's a backdrop. Are you ready for this, Logan? You ready for this, Logan? It's going to blow your mind. Are you listening? All right, let me know what you think of this. Because the only one I can get to react right now to this is Logan. He's in the control room. I'm going to get you guys all to react when the phone opens. But I want to get Logan's reaction to this. Are you ready for this, Logan? Look at the screen behind him. You have what looks like a water fountain shooting up. There's a ring. There's a ring. And then out of the ring is shooting up what looks like three chutes of water. Some would maybe just, I mean, that's what it looks like to me. It looks like an old-fashioned water fountain, right? You know, you go to the park and the water's shooting up in the air on maybe three or four sides or whatever. But when you start counting the number of lines going up out of this ring, you get six lines. And so you have six, six, six. Count those lines, Logan, and tell me if that isn't three sets of six. Sure it is. Now, I'm not saying that this is the mark of the beast. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the symbolism with these weirdos and freaks, they love it. And don't think for one minute that someone along the way wouldn't have said, you have six rays or six lines three times, six, six, six. You know what? We might want to change that because as soon as we put that online and put that all over the international media, people are going to notice those are three sets of six. Six, six, six. Now, I got another picture of it. Let's see where it is. I got another picture that's more... Well, here's a video. Here's a video of it, and here's Charles talking. Prince Charles makes radical call for green taxes after flying to Davos on a private jet, and there it is behind him. I don't know if it'll play or not. Let's see if it'll play. Here we go.
In the midst of a crisis that is now, I hope, well understood, global warming, climate change, and the devastating loss of biodiversity are the greatest threats humanity has ever faced, and one largely of our own creation. Now, I have dedicated much of my life to the restoration of harmony between humanity, nature, and the environment.
Oh, yeah. And harmony between, what did he say, nature and what? Listen again.
Economic model. Therefore, to move. In order to secure it is time to take it to the next. And to the encouragement of corporate, social, and environment ever faced.
Hang on.
And one largely of our own creation. Now, I have dedicated much of my life to the restoration of harmony between humanity, nature, and the environment.
Harmony, nature, and the environment. Humanity, is that what he said? Humanity, nature, and the environment. That makes much more sense. Glad you're in there, Logan. Oh, small tea, my lovely. So this guy is a pantheist. I guarantee you he believes that all is God and God is all. God is in, you know, pantheism, all is God. Panentheism, God is in all. I guarantee you he believes this. He's into interfaith dialogue. He had all the different religions represented at this freak show.
And to the encouragement of corporate, social, and environmental responsibility.
Yeah, that means ESG, environmental, social, governance, your ESG scores, which is what some are saying. Not that I want to promote, I don't even want to name the name, but the beer company that recently went all in on the whole trans thing. And are crashing their market. Some are saying they did that. Forbes magazine has an article stating they did that because they're trying to get their ESG score with the government up. Have any of you heard that? That they did that to get up their ESG score. their environmental social governance score. Oh, yeah. And so and King Charlie is for, Charles in Charge here is for ESG scores. Charles in Charge, that may have a whole new connotation in pop culture. Charles in Charge. Because he wants to dictate and control our entire lives. He's for the ESG.
Quite frankly, it has been a bit of an uphill struggle. But now it is time to take it to the next level. In order to secure our future and to prosper, we need to evolve our economic model. Therefore, to move...
Evolve our economic model, which means this dude wants to throw out the free market system and go to communitarianism, big government, big business.
Forward, we need nothing short of a paradigm shift.
Oh, yeah.
One that inspires action at revolutionary levels and pace.
From a guy that couldn't run a hot dog stand if his life depended on it. But he's going to all of a sudden tell us how to run our lives. So let me show you another graphic, another one that shows that more clearly. You pull that down, guys, and I'll show you another one here. I got it somewhere. I did a lot. I pulled up. There's a bigger image of the 666, the six rays shooting up in three columns of six. All right, I got another one here, Logan. Let me pull that down. Try another one here. I got another one somewhere in here where he had these rays shooting up. I thought I had another one. Maybe I don't. Maybe I don't. Thought I did. But this guy is a weirdo. Here we go. Headline from LifeSite News. King Charles helped organize original Great Reset meeting with World Economic Forum during COVID-19. Yeah, he did. You want to hear what he had to say then? Listen.
Case, we have no alternative because otherwise, unless we take the action necessary and we build again in a greener and more sustainable and more inclusive way, then we will end up having more and more pandemics and more disasters from ever accelerating global warming and climate change. So this is the one moment, as you've all been saying, when we have to make as much progress as we can.
All right, whatever. So he's basically, he went on to talk about the fact that we've got a problem with Mother Earth here. This was the result of the whole crisis. So anyway, did any of you guys watch this? What are your thoughts? 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. What are your thoughts about all this, guys? Love to hear your thoughts. 1-800-347-9829. Oh, here we go. Look at this. I found it, Logan. This member of the British royal family has a vital message if we're to save the planet. Look at those. That's clear as a bell right there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's right. 666. I mean, I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's the mark of the beast. I'm just saying it's weird. And don't think that wasn't. And it's right above his head. I mean, this is weird. The symbolism these people are into. And then Naomi Wolf goes into the fact that some of the women were dressing like men. And even had one lady carrying the train of a man. Phone lines open. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Several years ago, I worked with a team and we developed Extractjevity. It's an all-natural energy and health drink. All-natural energy and health drink. It includes bilberry extract, red wine extract, grapeseed extract, pine bark extract, and vitamin C. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. You can go do your own homework on the benefits of these extracts that are loaded with antioxidants. You can order it now at mystore.com. You'll get a savings if you use the code B66. Use the code B66 and you'll save. It's available at mystore.com. Again, an all-natural energy and health drink. And, of course, I have to throw in the disclaimer. This product has not been approved or evaluated by the FDA, is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But please, check out the all-natural energy and health drink, Extractgevity, at mystore.com. All right, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, 1-800-347-9829. Let's go to the phone lines. What do you guys think? What do you guys think about what you're hearing today? Let's go to William, line one. William, thanks for calling in, William.
Brandon, last week I mentioned to you I didn't think he was a viable candidate to talk about these issues, but isn't it funny, like him and Al Gore, they constantly move their, quote, tipping point. Every year is a new tipping point. But how come it's always a new tipping point? Why doesn't it come true? Well, because we know God's in control, and maybe we should just pray that Charles gets saved, gets truly born again. That would be a good thing, right?
Yeah, oh, that would be a marvelous thing. Yeah, it'd be a marvelous thing. Thank you. Look at this article, Reader's Digest. Things to tell you about Prince Charles you didn't know at the time. Ever since Henry VII split with the Catholic Church in 1530, English and British monarchs have been deemed defender of the faith during their coronations, a promise to uphold the Church of England, defender of the faith. Queen Elizabeth II was a devout Anglican, but King Charles has hinted that he might veer away from a single religion view. He said in a 1994 interview that he preferred to be, quote, defender of faith. Over defender of the faith. He doesn't want to be the defender of the faith, the Anglican Church. He wants to be the defender of faith, all. He later said he'll stick to the traditional wording when crowned. But he studied the Quran and Judaism in depth, attended Catholic masses, and made a point of visiting Christian, Sikh, Muslim, and Hindu communities during official visits. Quote, the future surely lies in rediscovering the universal truth that dwell at the heart of these religions, end quote, he has said. Go back to your calls, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Let's go to Randy, line two. Randy, thanks for calling in, Randy, in Arkansas.
Yeah, thanks, Brandon, for taking my call. Hey, I just want to comment that I didn't waste my time watching any of that coronation or whatever you want to call it. But from your description, it sounded more like an occultic ceremony. And I'm really, really kind of surprised that the British people, that they haven't done away with that monarchy thing a long time ago. It does nothing for them.
It does nothing for them. Absolutely not. Cost them a fortune. It cost them a lot of money. The guy doesn't even pay taxes. If you look at when his mother passed away, they had something written in the law that as long as it all went to Charles, no taxes. I guess some of the family members are upset because they didn't get cut in on it, but... I don't know what he'll do later, but go look up his wealth. And I mean, it's easy to get a lot of money when you're not paying taxes. I mean, what freeloaders? So why the people of that nation put up with this is beyond me. But then again, why do we put up with what we put up with? Here we go. Zoe in Illinois, line three. Zoe, thanks for calling in, Zoe.
Hi, Brandon. Yeah, according to James Corbett, he can't even put the toothpaste on his own toothbrush. Somebody does it for him in the morning.
Oh, that's right. I heard that.
I wanted you to comment on this article. I almost sent it to you yesterday. And I did you mention there's a part of it where there's a picture or something where all these different religious leaders are
gathered around him?
You know, from different religions, there's like a picture of them. And they all are kind of like they're not... I don't know. I can't remember the part about whether they're who's subservient to whom or whatever. I can't remember what you said about that. But it's fascinating. And I do have a quick question. What was all that about Bob Cornuke and that thing he was talking about wanting to announce on your program? And I never did hear what that was.
I don't know. He got cut off, and so we never
And
got...
you never found out?
No. He's in Israel. We're on different time hours.
Oh, it was just really spooky.
Yeah, that was really weird what that happened, and it repeated itself three times.
Like I just had to ask you that. Thank you, Brandon.
Yeah, like it went on auto record. That was really
right.
Weird. All right, thank you, Zoe.
Thank you.
Let's see who else we got here. John, line four. Hi, John. Go right ahead, John. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going? So I just wanted to call and ask you a question about the whole symbolism thing.
Yes.
What do you think about the Star of David being satanic? It's got 6 points, 6 triangles, and 6 sides on the inside.
Yeah, I don't think the Star of David is satanic. It's not a pentagram. It's not a pentagram, so I don't think it's the same thing at all.
But even though it's got 666, if you think about it?
Yeah, I don't think I would go to that being demonic, no. Let's go to David, line two. David from Texas. Thanks for calling in, David.
Yes, I wanted to disagree with your viewpoint on the coronation.
All right, go right ahead.
Okay, I watched it, excuse me.
Go ahead, we got a dial tone in my ear. I don't know if you guys are hearing that, too. All right, go ahead, I'm sorry, David. David? Am I the only one hearing that dial tone, or is everybody hearing that dial tone? Yeah, you're hearing it, too, so the whole audience is hearing that. All right.
We lost David.
Oh! I like it when people call in and disagree. I wanted to find out what he thought. He watched it, he said. But I wonder if David watched it with the understanding of what was being presented. Now, I noticed she says something. I wouldn't even go deeply into the weirdness of the balcony scene, namely Wolf, which took place after the coronation was all over. Why are the pre-adolescent boys arranged in this cadre in this way? The normal explanation is that they are members of the extended family or pages, but the iconic moment in the past did not, to my knowledge, include an aggregation, a lineup of 8 or 10 to 13-year-old boys.
David's back on.
The balcony is always an immediate and extended family of all ages. What is this lost boys imagery? That is a little interesting. And then, as I said, then there was a lady dressed like a man carrying the train of a guy dressed like a woman, kind of. I don't know. The whole thing was weird. Go ahead, David. I'm glad you called in. Thank you, David. Go ahead, David.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the royal family, but I was impressed that there was much scripture reading in the ceremony, and they totally glorified the Lord Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords the whole time. And I thought it was neat that they anointed him similar fashion that King Saul. Now, no, I didn't hear, but I saw him with a Bible there, taking all kinds of oaths.
Do we know in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we know it was a Bible?
That's what it said on the cover.
Okay. Well, don't you? Okay. Thanks, David. I'm glad you called in. I love it when people call in and don't always agree. Here's my problem. The Bible says not to mix the things of God with the profane. Not to mix the things of God with the profane. So the fact that they were invoking the name of Jesus, I didn't hear all the words invoking of the name of Jesus, with all of this other occultic symbolism, to me, is even worse. So actually, your report makes it even worse. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says not to do this. Revelation 18:4 says not to do this. So it's even worse, David. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.